Thank you for listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. Ryan Schog from TSN joins us. Schogger, tonight will be Jerome Iginla's 100th career game versus the Edmonton Oilers.
Really?
Yes. Will it be his final game in Edmonton?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he wants it to be. You know, I think Jerome is one of those guys that just feels he can contribute and feels that if he can, that he wants to just keep going. So I'm not sure. You know, he's been a good player for a long time, and his status in the game right now is probably something a little bit new for him to wrap his head around. So, I don't know. Maybe someone will give him a chance. You know, maybe somebody out there will. And I think he wants to keep playing. I haven't talked to him. I don't know that for sure, but I think he probably wants to keep playing. So, I don't know. I'll say no.
No. Nice. Edmonton Oilers tonight, three lineup changes and no major surprises, I don't think. Betty not ready to go, so Graba comes in. Talbot's obviously back in. And Slepyshev comes in for Jujhar Khaara. And, you know, if the playoffs started, do you think Matt Hendricks is on the first game roster on the fourth line?
I mean, I think so. I think they would probably defer to a veteran with some more experience, I would think. I mean, I think, that would probably be my guess at this point, because I just think when you have somebody that's got the number of games that he's got, you got the experience he's got, he's been there before. I mean, yeah, you just put him in the lineup. You know he's not going to be in awe of the spectacle of it. It's not going to be a situation he hasn't been in before. And I think they can probably count on him for a pretty honest, solid game. So I think I would probably lean that way. Now, if between now and the end of the season, they get guys that are just rolling and playing lights out really, really good and better than they expected and all that, then maybe you got to readjust. But I think for the first game, you put them in there and see how it looks. And you make the other guys... You know, you make the other guys wait for it a little bit, and you give the veteran the benefit of the doubt.
And that's fair. And, you know, I think they might do that for game one, thinking that the veterans won't be overwhelmed by the situation. We'll see. I think a lot of it maybe depends on how he plays here in the final few games. You know, there's how many games is he going to get in the final six? Because he's obviously not going tonight. You know, maybe three, right? You would think maybe. Yeah. So. It'll be an interesting one. You know, Anton Slepyshev is a player who obviously has a better shot, I think, doesn't have the experience of Hendricks, isn't a penalty killer. And, you know, that might be the one element that helps Hendricks is he at least can get on one of your special teams units.
Well, the penalty kill to me makes a big difference, right? Like, that's one thing the Oilers are absolutely going to want to have firing on all cylinders. And Hendricks, when he's in, is a significant part of their penalty kill. So I think... You know, it's like when they have Kajula in the lineup, right? I mean, 5-on-5, he's okay player and has his moments, but the fact that they can use him on a power play if they have to, those are all benefits for him, big benefits for him. So I think the fact that Hendricks can be a reliable penalty killer, where special teams are so critical, might give him a little bit of an edge.
Cam Talbot, it was interesting. I had a great conversation with Talbot today, just, you know, kind of talking about his mindset. I also said he wasn't superstitious. You know, it was funny. We had the conversation. He goes, yeah, I couldn't believe how many people were including me. You know, they were just all over Gene Principe thinking he had something to do with me having my shutout streak broke. And he says, trust me, it was all me. The Eves goal was terrible.
Well, what did Gene said something on the broadcast?
Yeah, well, you know, and I talked and I laughed because I said, good, I was having fun tweeting about it in the previous game. Like, I don't buy into that. He goes, well, yeah, I'm not watching TV before the game. I'm not reading Twitter during the game. What people say has absolutely no bearing. He goes, my own teammates every now and then will bring up a shutout streak. It doesn't impact me.
Certain guys think it's a thing. Certain guys don't. You know, there are those broadcasters out there that would never say something. And there are those who purposely say something to prove a point that it's not a thing. It's kind of, everybody has their own feeling on it. I'm not that superstitious, so I don't really think that there's much to that stuff.
Well, there's nothing to
it. People who are, I mean, there's no greater sin than having said something, you know, that, about a shutout streak. I mean, that's just, now, I don't think a shutout streak is something that it's offside to talk about. I think once the game starts, talking about a shutout is where, in my hockey lore, that's where it gets offside. Not before the game, talking about a shutout streak.
Now, you mean, you think the broadcasts are talking about it impacts the game somehow?
No, not at all.
Oh, you mean as teammates?
But for people who do, like there's this suggestion that there's a tradition, like that you know, everybody should know you don't say the word shutout. But to me, that's in game. That's where what the tradition says. You don't talk about a shutout while the shutout is happening for those who subscribe to it. Now, I don't. I don't go out of my way to say, hey, wonder if he's going to get a shutout. If I were working on broadcasts, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to say, hey, I wonder if he'll get a shutout. But for those that do, I think anything outside the broadcast, they have no reason to be to feel like the tradition wasn't respected. If it's said in game, then I get why people who do believe in that stuff would be a little miffed. But if it was before the game, whatever.
Yeah, well, even during the game, I had fun with it on Twitter the other time when he got a second shutout, doing 5-minute updates about where shutout streak was at. So I don't really think it has absolutely
well, you're just
any
trying to cause problems at that.
Well,
point.
No, I was just trying to prove to people that it has no bearing on it.
Yeah. Stirring it up.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, did you hear Drew Doughty today? Speaking of stirring it up.
Yeah, his comment about you know, the Oilers' skill guys like to play defense now. All right, which, you know, there's some truth to that for sure. Also, the fact that, you know, and I said, well, Drew, look at their defense too. Right, like they have defensemen who can play defense. I think that's probably a bigger improvement.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, sure. I thought it was really interesting what he said. Like, I thought it was notable. Kind of like raise an eyebrow and go, huh. Basically saying, yeah, their star players actually want to play defense now. They're not just worried about getting their points. And to me, I mean, Rob Tichkowski was in the scrum too, and I sort of looked at him and he raised an eyebrow and I raised an eyebrow and then, huh. Like it was the way I described it in the hit I did was that he was both scathing and highly complimentary in the same sentence because he was. And I think he's talking about some of the same players in both instances, but I mean, I think he's talking about Taylor Hall, that he's talking about probably Eberle and, you know, talking about guys like that. So it was just interesting. Interesting that he would go that far to suggest that all he cared about before was getting points.
Yeah, well, he could have been talking about Draisaitl and McDavid last year, too.
Sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. To me, I look at it that the Oilers' overall team defense hasn't improved 100%. But has their actual blue line, to me, that has made a bigger improvement than any other thing about four, you know, Jordan Eberle being better defensively, because his offense is down this year, right? So he's better defensively, great. But
right, but we're not, I mean, I'm not debating with you what the bigger improvement was this year. I'm suggesting what Doughty's intention was, right? That's kind of what I'm talking about. That was notable to me today. It's very seldom that a player will go that far in criticizing what he saw from a team or a group of players. Now, he's complimenting them by saying it's not like that anymore, but it was definitely a critical analysis of what he's seen in years past from them, more critical than I think you would normally hear a player be about any other team like that.
Ryan Schaug from TSN was interesting about Doughty, and I tried to get him to discuss it, but, you know, playing this King style, Ryan, which is just an offensive wasteland, they've been shut out 10 times. They've scored one goal in 14 other games. So in almost 33% of their games, they're scoring one goal, right? Like, you wonder how much longer, like, guys like Kopitar and Doughty want to keep playing that way. Because the just dump it in, throw it, pucks from every area on the ice in the hopes that you can get a rebound, I just don't think that style is working anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know how heavy the clamps are put down on those guys in terms of stymieing offensive creation. Is it that they're being stymied offensively?
Well, watch the Kings games closely, Ryan. You watch tonight how often the Kings give up the puck and you know, they want to go chase it. Or from a low percentage area, they just fire it on net and it doesn't you're basically just giving away possession. Yes, you get a shot on goal, you get a shot attempt acquired, but Cam Talbot makes an easy save. He either saves it, there's no rebound, or he puts it into the corner like they played last Monday, and the Kings had no second shot opportunities in the entire game. Yeah. And that's been that way. I went through the last Kings game. It's not like they're getting repeated opportunities. Like, rebounds are great if you can get them, but they got to be within, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, and it's easy to go through each game. It takes some time, but you will see, and the Kings aren't getting that. So to me, shooting from everywhere doesn't give you anything other than, you know, pumping up your possession numbers falsely, because the Kings aren't a team that scores at all.
Yeah, and I don't think Daryl Sutter is interested in pumping up the analytic numbers to, you know, put lipstick on the pig or anything like that. I don't think that's what he's doing. I mean, maybe he's just working with what he's got, or feels like he's just working with what he's got. I mean, Kopitar's been playing for Daryl Sutter for a long time. And I mean, this year for him has not been a good year. So is Sutter all of a sudden putting some sort of clamps on him, or not giving him the same level of creative ability? I don't know that would be the case. So it's not a great style. It's not working for him very well. They're probably not going to the playoffs. They're not scoring a lot of goals. Their best players haven't really been their best players. So something's definitely not working. And it's an old way of going about it that won them some cups, but probably needs to be advanced with some different personnel and some different strategy. So the Oilers, look, they've got a team that's been to the top of the mountain with a lot of the guys that are in that lineup, but that struggled to maintain it here through this year. And so they can take advantage of this group with their speed, with their creativity, and try to lock down a spot.
You look at the Oilers now with 7 games to go, and San Jose floundering, you know, Minnesota. I guess, which team are you more concerned about if you're a fan of San Jose or Minnesota?
San Jose or Minnesota, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and it's kind of come apart in a bunch of different ways for the Minnesota Wild too, right? Like, Dubnyk's come a little bit unglued. The San Jose Sharks, for them to lose the number of games in a row that they lost, that was a pretty nasty little run. So, yeah, good question. I mean, I think when we were talking earlier this year, like even maybe 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, about who the elite teams were, I was hesitant to list Minnesota as an elite team, even though where they were in the standings would suggest that they were, because they were kind of doing it as a group for the first time. And yes, they'd gotten some great results, and yes, they'd put together a good run and were way up in the standings, but I didn't feel comfortable putting them in the same group as, say, the San Jose Sharks, who'd been to the Cup Final, the Chicago Blackhawks, who were so good every year. And we're maybe seeing a little bit of that reason why. They haven't spent a lot of time in this position, and now the wheels are coming off a little bit. So how much faith do you have they're going to get it together? I would say as a group, I probably have more faith that the San Jose Sharks are going to find their game and round into form when it matters than the Wild, just by virtue of the fact that they haven't been there the way the Sharks have been there.
Well, the Wild, like, I just wonder if you can really compete without a legit superstar, right? And I wonder if that's part of their problem.
Yeah. I mean, Suter's a pretty high-end player. But to your point, I think you mean more like offensive superstar, like someone who really drives the bus offensively.
Yeah, and even Suter, like, he's really good, but do you put him top 5 defenseman in the league?
No, I don't think so. So I run through it quickly in my head. I don't think so. But he's a really, really good world-class defenseman. So, I mean, I don't think you can diminish what he does. He's not as flashy as some of them are, but a lot of players have had good seasons playing with Ryan Suter because of the quality in his game. But I think more to your point, it's, you know, they don't have, whether it's the Thornton or the Burns or the, you know, the McDavid, the Draisaitl, the Goudreau, the Monahan, they've got a collection of guys that, you know, can contribute and pitch in together, but it's not, they don't have that guy who, when the chips are down, will always be relied on to bring the offense. And in the playoffs, that will definitely matter. But they got to where they are by being a well-rounded group, and they're going to lean on that in the playoffs. Whether that's enough or not, I guess we'll see. But, you know, there's always that talk about, could they move a defenseman in return for some offense and try and find that guy? And never really pulled the trigger on that significant deal to do that.
No, not at all. Shogar, will the Oilers officially close the door on the Decade of Darkness tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they beat the Kings 2 out of 3 games already this season. They're going to be able to taste it. It's going to be right there in front of them. I think in the first period, it'll be interesting to see what level they bring in the early going, if they're tentative at all or if they just come out and leave nothing to chance and just absolutely bring their fastest, most aggressive game like it's the playoffs and just make sure they get it done. I'm not sure, but I would definitely be picking the Oilers to get by the Kings tonight and lock it up for sure.
Shriver, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, buddy. Sounds good.